pretty.
That was insane, actually.
The flow.
The flow, though. It was really good. We both have singing backgrounds.
If you can't tell, we're both classically trained.
I would consider myself not classically trained. Would you?
I would consider myself someone who was classically trained for like 10 years, yeah. But I don't remember a single thing and I don't sing anymore.
That's not true. You just sang the first dance at a wedding. How was that?
It was okay. I was really nervous. I did a... So actually, diving right into it, I went to the wedding. It was in Virginia. And I did a shot of Fireball right before I sang the first dance song. And I did it with the girl who I had my first gay kiss with. And when we did our first gay kiss...
As opposed to the girl you did your first straight kiss with.
Exactly. They are different. Mm-hmm. The time that we had our first kiss, we did a shot of Fireball right before. So it was really full circle. We did a shot of Fireball when we kissed. And then we did a shot of Fireball and we went up and we sang our first dance song.
Kissed at the wedding?
No, we did not kiss at the wedding.
Copy.
We just sang the first dance song. We might have kissed. I don't know. We were so drunk.
Was it fun? I've like never been to, well, okay, so I've only been to one wedding, but it was in like 2014, so mm-hmm. It was like before gay marriage was legalized, and I went, and I immediately started weeping heavily, because I like saw all the grandparents like smiling, and I saw like what was a really beautiful ceremony of their love, and I thought, oh my god, I'm never gonna have that, oh my god, I will never have happiness like these people have. So I drove home sobbing.
That is really rough.
So I haven't had fun at a wedding.
You know, it was fun. It was a beautiful ceremony. I cried at the vows.
You did?
I did. I mean, they were really... I don't think that my friend who got married listens to this podcast, but if you do, the vows were so beautiful.
Wow.
Like, just two people who clearly really, really love each other, and that's always really awesome to witness.
Oh, that's great. Weddings. Wedding season. I've never been to a gay wedding, and I would love to go to a gay wedding. We went TikTok live like the other day, and someone invited us to their gay wedding, and I was like,
I know, we haven't received the invite yet, which is a little jarring.
A little jarring, because although you never check your messages, so is it most likely in your messages?
It's possible. I never, ever, 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 ever check my DMs, which is that's a personality flaw.
I don't know if it's a personality flaw. I just think you're really connected. You're really in the moment. You're really living each moment to moment. How are you?
I am not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going through a really hard time right now, which sucks, but I'd rather be transparent about it.
That is great. I'm glad you're being transparent about it. We went to Cubbyhole last night. And your social battery lasted 14 seconds.
I had a bad time. Not because I had a great time with you, but I waited so long in the line, and like, I just can't in crowds like that.
Yeah.
Especially when I was like kind of already tired and I'm in just such like a terrible, terrible depressive state right now. It's impossible for me to be on in a space like that.
This could be interesting. What do you do when you're feeling so bad? Like, what actually makes you feel better?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, for example, yesterday I like forced myself to get out of bed and I walked 8 miles.
You walked 8 miles?
Yes. I got up and I walked to the park, which is far.
Oh, bestie.
I know.
And then
I'm
not good.
No. And then I walked all through the park, and then I sat and read for a while. I walked all through the park again, and then I walked like up past my house, and then I walked home. And like, for me, I think sometimes I just need to be literally out of the house, because if I'm in my house alone, then I'm going to start rotting.
Yeah, rotting.
I'm going to start literally like absolutely melting into my own fucking brain, which is so bad. So just being out of the house. But I mean, also something that your partner Ted said to me last night, which is like obviously not an original phrase, but it was helpful in the moment. Like, you can't go above it or below it. You have to go through it. Okay, anyway, now that I put it out into the universe that I'm going through a hard time, I feel like I'm ready to do the podcast now, because I just was anxious about sounding like sad. But now that you know that I am sad, I feel like I can be happy.
Listen, if we're going to keep up with these episodes, you're going to have to get us at all states, because our longest hiatus from this podcast was when we were both in weird states. We were like, guess we can't record, but listen.
Yeah.
You got to accept us. If you can't have us at our sad, stinky, depressed, mm-hmm. you don't deserve us at our sexy, stinky, happy.
So true.
We're stinky at all times, though.
Something exciting is that I turned 25 in a week from today.
Yeah. Wait. This is the birthday episode.
Oh, it's the birthday episode.
So, yeah. I turned 26, what, 2 weeks after that?
Yeah.
So, this will come out kind of in between our birthdays. Right after yours and, like, a week before mine.
So, I'm already 25 when you're listening to this.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. Yeah. Honestly, it feels like a good time for me to... It's so interesting to think about, like, where I was last year for my birthday. Like, it is wild.
What was your birthday last year?
I just had a bunch of people over, but it was, like, I spent the day with my ex-girlfriend.
Wait, and it was, like, the roast day.
Yeah. And I was, like, not happy, but I think that I was, like, I mean, I was in a terrible relationship.
Right.
And it was just at the start of it. We had just started dating, and I think I already knew that I wasn't happy, and I just, like, felt weird, and... I was in this new apartment and it was all just like felt off, but I'm really thankful this year. Like, I'm going into this birthday single.
Yeah.
Which I haven't had a single birthday in a really, like, actually ever, maybe, since I was like 15.
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
Like, I truly haven't had a single birthday because I.
Yeah, because we have Stinkatunia, Emma.
Mm-hmm. Before that, it was my lovely ex boyfriend.
Yes.
Before that, it was my lovely ex boyfriend.
Who's
the
other one?
The same, right. You know, we were together for a long time. So it was him for 2 years in a row. And then before that, it was he who shall not be named.
Mm-hmm.
And then before that, it was, I guess I probably had that one single birthday.
And yes, I remember it. That was a birthday you hooked up with your extremely famous Oscar-winning ex.
Oh my God, wait, yes.
Yes.
My only single birthday in like 10 years was my Oscar-winning ex birthday.
Wow, so the last time you were single on your birthday,
I had sex with an Oscar winner.
You had sex with an Oscar winner, so what could possibly be in store for this birthday?
God only knows.
Honestly, that Oscar winner did go on to crash your car, so
yeah.
It can only go up,
it
I would
really
say.
It can only go up.
But I feel like you have another Oscar winner in store. We decided it's Starfucker Summer, you know?
Well, something that I've said for the past couple months is that I'm going to keep starfucking until I become the star to fuck.
Yes, and that is so amazing and beautiful and perfect.
Haven't been doing it.
But that's okay.
But that's okay. That starts today.
That's so, you know what? That was something that was so good about having Addis on the episode is she really, I feel like, infused us with Starfucker energy.
Yes.
Because she really does what she wants. And that is unbelievably incredible. I'm excited to turn 26. No more health insurance. So.
Yeah, congratulations. That's exciting.
Hoping Ted proposes soon because he does have amazing health insurance as a stripper.
Did you say yes?
We've actually talked about it, like, in a real way, because I was just, like, literally in an insurance way.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, he cares for me deeply and doesn't want me to, like, be uninsured.
Yeah.
But we would do a domestic partnership right now, which also would give me his insurance.
But wouldn't you have to live together?
I think we just have to, like, say that we do.
But they're gonna check that shit.
I'll just be like, that's my office space.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know what I mean? And it is an office.
And that's kind of nice because then what, you don't have to go through like divorce money if you ever decided to, well, not that, I think you guys will be together forever.
Thank you.
But, you know, so I think that you don't have divorce.
I just don't think it's women. The right time to get married. I really said to Ted, I was like, I won't marry you until I'm 30. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, that's insane. And I was like, literally, no, it's not. I'm 26.
You think Ted wants to get married before that?
That's what he said. Baby, if you're listening, which you listen to this podcast religiously, I love you.
I mean, here's the thing. I kind of feel like something that I've been noticing in the trends in, like, my friendships. For example, my friend that just got married, she was the last. Like, if I had to make a list of the friends that I think would get married before 30, she would have been number 70,000. And she was, like, the first.
She'd be 10K million.
And so I would... You know, in my brain, put you pretty low on the list as well. But maybe you're gonna get married. Maybe you'll, because I think that you and I specifically always thought that I would be some sort of like child bride situation.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And if I got married right now, I'd consider myself a child bride
for sure.
You know, like absolutely. 25. Come on, that's a child bride.
That's literally a child. That's what I feel like. I feel like I'm a child. Like, what the fuck would I be doing getting married?
People are doing it.
I know. I just want to be more rich, and yeah. I feel like getting married at 30 is.
Fire. Slay.
Is a slay.
I think getting married at 30 is a slay.
I mean, it's still very fucking young. But
that's crazy to think where our parents were at.
Yeah, my mom had a child.
My mom didn't. My mom got married late and had kids late, but.
But late by what? How old was she?
She was 35 when she had me, and she was 41 when she had my brother.
Wow, I actually didn't know that.
37 when she had my sister. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So my mom like really.
Your mom looks amazing, dude. Both your parents do.
My parents look really young, but I mean, my mom, like, both my parents partied hard their whole 20s and, like, had an amazing time and even part of their 30s as well. So I think that I guess maybe that's in store for me too. Although, like, I don't know. I don't want to stop partying when I get married. Like, for me, when I get married, I don't even think – like, I don't want to start trying to have kids right away. Like, I think
– God.
Whenever –
I always forget you're, like, a kid's bitch.
I'm a kid's bitch, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you, like, can't wait to be a mom.
I can wait.
Right.
I used to not be able to wait. Now I can wait because, like, obviously I cannot afford a fucking kid. But I do want a kid or two eventually. But when I get married, no. I'm going to give it – let that marriage settle for about 3 years. Make sure it's going to stick.
Yeah.
And then we can have kids.
Wow.
I'm excited for kids. I'm excited for marriage.
I'm excited for your kids.
Yeah. I'm going to be the one in the friend group that has the kids.
Yeah.
Because I honestly, I don't really think anyone else in our friend group is really planning on having kids.
No one else even kind of. Well, what's great about that is that, like, it'll be great because you can literally just pass your children around. Yes. Like, your children will be raised by a herd of queers.
Yes. And, like, babysitters, no problem.
Literally no problem. Just drop your kid off. But your kid has to be chill.
My kid's going to be chill as fuck.
Yeah. He better. He.
They.
Are you going to raise your kids genderless?
I was actually thinking about this the other day.
Really?
Yeah. What I was having a whole thought about it. My thoughts are, like, even if I chose to do that, it wouldn't be respected by my family at all. You know, right. Like.
Maybe kids still going to walk around in a gendered world. So.
I don't know. I mean, of course, like, I'm not going to. I'm going to raise
my. Like, take that dress off, boy.
Right. No, I'm going to raise my kid in a genderless way, in the way that, like, they can wear whatever they want and the way that they can, like, do whatever the fuck they want. But am I going to use, like, they, them pronouns for my baby? Like, I think that's awesome. I don't think there's literally anything wrong with that. I don't know. I just, maybe.
I don't know what my opinion on that is, because I'm like, they, them, baby.
Well, the only thing is, like.
Like, I hear that for sure. Like, let the kid pick, but.
But then it's, like, you're kind of, because they, them, like, a non-binary is under, like, the trans umbrella. And then it's kind of, like, what? Like, you've decided your kid is trans? Like, well, I don't know. Let's take all this out.
No, that's just interesting to talk about. Because generally, I feel like I'm going to, like, just. Assign my kid the gender at birth, right?
Yeah.
But, like, obviously let them vibe and do whatever.
Of course, if my kid was, like, saying they wanted to use they, them pronouns at any point, like, of course that would be great.
Yeah, like, I feel like I'll raise my kid genderless in the way that, like, the second they have a fucking brain and, like, can say something.
You can ask.
Not even ask. I'm just going to be like, you can be a boy or a girl or neither or both. And
right.
Do you want a new name? You can pick one out for today. Like, you know, like, just totally. In the way of, like, just really encouraging them to just, like, really just vibe with gender. And, yeah, so I'm talking about this like I'm going to have a kid. I'm going to do this to your kid.
You don't think you're going to have a kid?
No, I'm going to – your kid will be my kid.
Well, will yeah. What? Well, no, it will be.
Okay.
But I also kind of feel like you might have a kid.
We've also always said we were going to co-parent. So yeah. Where is that happening? Wait, will you have kids, like, for me?
No.
What if I take really good care of you? I already do. But think, imagine if, like...
Like, what? You're saying your only restriction to not having kids is you don't want to be pregnant?
Yeah. I don't want to be pregnant at all. I don't want to see how it's going to change my body. And like, I don't want to be pregnant
at all. You're against adoption?
Yes, extremely.
Friday is adopted.
I am adopted. Yeah. I'm adopted. I have a lot of trauma surrounding my adoption. And I feel like I have been to so many years of therapy. And yet I would project every single bit of my own trauma onto that child. And no,
you don't think that,
that
me like giving birth to your kid and then giving it to you is not a form of adoption?
No.
Because, yeah, I agree.
Because you would be there and right. Very present in the child's life. You know what I mean?
I won't do that for you, not because I don't want to, but because I also know myself and there's no fucking way I would give that baby away.
Okay, can you just like have an extra kid and like just kind of like leave it to me a little?
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely like hang on to one of them for most of the time.
Okay,
or like cool. Some of the time, you know, cool. Like I'm not worried about, like you can have them whenever you want,
okay,
truly
yeah.
Whenever you
That's
want.
That's sort of how I feel like it's going to work out.
Well, the way that I think my future is going to go, our future is going to go, mm-hmm. Is we're going to get... The brownstone.
Yeah. Some
and
property.
We're just going to live on different floors.
Yeah.
And so, like, essentially, you're living in the same house as the kid anyway.
Exactly. You know? That's what I'm saying.
It's going to be me and my partner on one floor with mm-hmm. our kid or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Kid or two. You and your partner upstairs.
I think we need more of a building.
Yeah.
Because we also need Taryn and Kylene on this.
Yeah, I think, and I think that, like, obviously we've said this before, but whoever I decide to have kids with and get married to, like, it's going to have to sort of be like a co-op situation where they have to get approved by everyone.
Obviously.
Whoever obviously. I date, it is a co-op situation.
It is.
Assuming I'm using the word co-op correctly.
I would say you're probably not using the word co-op correctly.
Co-op is like everyone in the building has to agree to let the new tenants. Has to let the okay, I'm thinking of like co-op, like you're trying to move into a co-op. You have to get approval from like the board. The board being all of my friends. Rejected
from like multiple co-ops, like their sororities.
That, I'm sure that happens.
We should do like co-op bid day.
Wait, yeah, that's
and
funny.
And it'll be like, welcome to the co-op. And like, yeah. I don't really know much about sororities, but I have seen TikToks about them.
I've seen a lot of TikToks about Alabama Rush. And I look at them and I'm like, that would have been me if I had gone to the University of Alabama.
You are only the person you are because you went to a small queer liberal arts school.
That's correct.
I believe you would be...
I'm a direct product of my environment.
You would be engaged to a man with long blonde hair down to your ass.
Yeah.
And trying for a kid and a Christian.
I don't know if I would be in like a Christian relationship. I mean, maybe.
Not like a full-on Christian relationship, but maybe like you guys go to church.
We like got married in a church or something. Yeah. And I yes, for sure.
Do you actually think that's true? Like, I was kind of just kidding, but do you actually think that?
I think that there is a world in which that happened.
But you kind of always had like an attitude. And I feel like that doesn't mesh well with that.
A huge bitch, you mean?
Yeah, you've always been like a huge bitch, so.
Yeah.
Regardless, if you have a building for sale, let us know. I have about $400 in my bank account right now. So if you have anything around for 400, 400, just like let us know. I would honestly love, I was just saying this, like we need a massive backyard that we can like absolutely just like make our own and like
just think about how fucking cute the dogs, the cats can be outside, and then like I just have like a random fucking baby running around.
Dude, Kylie has been saying every single week, she's like, we need a house baby, and I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she's like, we need a house baby.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't really know what that means, but I really do see that, because sometimes it's fun to have a kid around.
For me, I mean, I'd be happy to have my kid around always. Like, dude, I want you to picture this backyard.
Mm-hmm.
We're all outside, the kid is running around or whatever. Obviously
I'm on MDMA.
you're on MDMA. My partner is grilling veggie burgers and veggie dogs
and building us a shed
simultaneously. Okay, and then we all like spend the night together, have our drinks around the fire. At one point, I pop upstairs to fucking bathe the baby and put it to sleep.
Mm-hmm. And then you take MDMA.
And then I come downstairs, I take MDMA.
Yeah.
And at some point, the baby starts crying. There's a baby monitor. My partner goes up, or you go up, or someone goes up and checks on the baby.
Right. Someone's like, I got it this time.
There's so many people that can go up and check on the fucking baby while we stay up until, like, you know, 1 a.m. hanging out, having a great time.
You gotta have at least three kids so that we can all share.
Three?
I'm thinking, okay, the four of us of Fruit House.
Yeah.
We all need a house.
Right.
We need a house.
Called Fruit House.
So you need to have at least three babies.
Three babies is gonna be tough for me. That's a lot of babies.
Okay, two.
No, I want two kids.
Okay.
And I want them both to be fucking freaks.
Yeah, absolute freaks.
Like, freaks.
They will be freaks because they'll be raised by a herd of queers. Freaks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, literally on your child's third birthday, I'll be like, you should name yourself Skeleton Anus. And they'll be like, word.
And I'll get so mad at you.
Your child's first word is going to be word.
Oh, like, I can't wait to have a kid. I also, like... Like, okay, that is something about turning 25 and getting a little bit older. Like, that is not a stage in my life that I'm ready for, but it's a stage in my life that I'm, like, ready to start sort of, like, fantasizing about in a real way. I don't even mean that in a crazy way. Like, I'm really excited for that. Like, I'm really excited to be a mom. You know this. I've always said this.
You've always wanted to be a mom.
I'm literally
a fantastic mom.
I am destined. I'm not crying. Sorry, I just had something in my throat. I am destined to be a mother, and I like literally cannot wait to give all the love in the world to a family that I can build.
Wow, that's so beautiful.
Anyway, until then, I'm gonna be a fucking slut and fuck around and slurp around and spit on fucking clits and shit.
I love slurp around.
Yeah, I'm gonna slurp around.
You should. I feel like if you don't slurp around enough, you're a bad mom.
Yeah. Because if you don't slurp around enough and then you like settle down and start to have kids and like you feel unfulfilled because you didn't slurp around enough, you're going to project that onto your kid.
Exactly.
You're going to be like, you're the reason I didn't get fucked as much as I wanted to in my 20s.
Literally. You were the end of me getting fucked.
Damn. That's the other thing. I hope I don't ever stop getting fucked.
Don't. You won't.
I won't. I won't.
You won't.
Way too hot and horny.
You would never ever. Exactly. You would never ever end up long term with someone who wasn't absolutely giving.
You would never ever end up long term with someone.
You'll always get railed, as will I. I would never not get railed.
I'm not worried about you not getting railed. I'm like, I know for a fact you will be getting railed till the day you die.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad. I know you will too.
I hope so.
I think maybe you're in a bit of a sad funk right now, and that's why you feel like you won't. But every relationship you've ever been in, you've been getting railed pretty hard and consistently.
Yeah.
Right?
Except for my last one.
Oh my god, I forgot.
I was getting gaslit the shit out of it.
Okay, but literally, the thing is that you were getting railed hard and fast, which is why you got in that relationship hard and fast.
That is so true. I was getting railed so hard and fast, and it was so good.
It was so good, and then it just absolutely stopped the second that you developed feelings to the point where you didn't want to leave.
I was thinking about how when I started dating my last, like, serious girlfriend, there was a point where you were coming over, mm-hmm. and you were like 15 minutes away, and my mm-hmm. girlfriend looked at me, and like, it was before we were in a relationship, I think we had like just started dating, and she was like, we have 15 minutes, like, let's see how many times you can come. And I was like, that's so fun. And then she turned out to have the worst personality of all time and trapped me in like an almost year long relationship. It wasn't a year. Wow. But it was too long.
That is so fun. How did it go from that to nothing? How'd it go from that to you staying in a hotel together and not having sex?
I can tell you exactly how. We did have sex and we stayed in the hotel.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it was just like...
really bad?
Really, like...
smelly?
It was just like... I don't know. Like, we are too young to not be fucking.
Yeah. Not to be raw fucking.
We are too young for me to not walk into a fucking room and for you to be like whispering in my ear, hey... you look so hot right now. I can't wait to fuck you later. Or do you want to go fuck in the bathroom right now?
Yeah. Like, when you walk into a room, your partner needs to get hard.
Yes.
Their clit needs to be absolutely...
I want them falling onto their knees.
Yeah. Their clit needs to be, like, shaking and quivering and, like, as long down to their knees as possible.
Yes. And that quickly disappeared in my last relationship. And then I was like, hey, we don't have sex anymore. And she was like, that's not true. We have sex all the time.
Wow.
Yeah. So just really gaslit. Anyway, the reason that we stopped having sex, it was very clear to me because she told me word for word that she began deeply resenting me.
Like, what? Like, say something, bro.
Right. Be like, hey, I've started deeply resenting you.
That was the relationship I was most scared of in mm-hmm. your life. And you've been abused.
Yeah. No, you're right. Because
I knew that you weren't going to stay with your abuser.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I was like, there's no way she ends up with this person. I advised you to leave the relationship, but everyone comes to terms with shit on their own terms. terms. but with Stinkatoon, I just was like, Jules is going to fucking marry this bitch. And that is so terrible because this woman has... the personality of a rock.
A literal rock.
This girl's personality was this. We walk into a bar.
I'm fucking tired. I'm too old for this.
I'm too old to be in here.
And it's, okay. I guess they don't have any of the drinks I like, but everyone just assumes that.
Oh, they don't have a cider on draft? What are we in fucking, we're not in New York City? Why don't they have a fucking cider on draft?
All right, well, sorry. I'm going to go... respond to my Slack messages.
Literally, I'd be like, baby, like, do you want to come dance with me? And she'd be like, I'm too old for this shit. Like, you and your fucking friends. Like, blah, 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 blah. Like,
this woman was not 30 yet.
She literally wasn't 30 yet. She was just boring. So, yeah.
Let's move the fuck on from this conversation.
Yeah. What do you feel like? We cannot do this if you feel like this is boring. But, like, what were your highest high points in 25? Since this is the birthday episode.
Right. Well, I mean, I went through, like, a really hard breakup right before 25. Mm-hmm. Like, right before, like, hardest breakup of my life. It was 4 years, and then it fucking ended so traumatically. Not actually, just, like, I didn't want it to end, and, like, neither did he. But, yeah, I just, like, it was just really sad. It was really painful.
Yeah.
So, I honestly think I just started out this year being, like, I can only go up from here. Like, literally, it can't get worse than this. And it didn't.
Yeah.
So yeah. I just had low expectations. So I just kept on rising above them. And then I ended up getting into another relationship, which was not my intention at all. I was like, I need to be single for 18 years after that. But it's turned out to be an unbelievably positive relationship that's like allowing me to discover a lot about myself and like grow and didn't feel like stagnant or stuck. And so like that's just been like really great. And it's also encouraged me to, like, leave my day job. Like, mm-hmm. I just felt, like, so supported and seen. And, like, I was supported and seen before. And obviously not everything was about the relationship. But because I survived that breakup and because I survived, like, just that, like, really low point in my life, it sort of made me be, like, all right, that the one thing that I thought could not change and I'd survive it did. Mm-hmm. So now everything else has to change, too. Because I, like, don't want to live a life that I don't want to live anymore.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I love that I edit. Like, I literally was editing this thing the other day, and it was, like, not even, like, my passion project or something that, like, I particularly would be excited about. And I was just, like, beaming, like, editing it. Like, I was just having so much fun. And I've just, like, sort of kind of got myself on a track I'm more excited about for my existence. Like, I was working at a nail salon.
Yeah.
I was the general manager of a nail salon. How did I end up there? Like, I literally don't know how I ended up there, but I did. And, like, I was so unhappy working there. Like, and now I work for myself, and that's amazing. And obviously, I'm way more broke than I was at that point because it's much harder to freelance. But I'm just, like, feeling really positive because I feel like I'm at least in control of my misery.
Yeah. I mean, you're just in control, period.
Yeah, I'm in control, and it's hard a lot, but, like, it's just making me feel really excited for, like, the rest of my life, which is something I've not always been excited for.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And 26 is, like, I'm just, like, not scared of this age, because, like, I don't know, like, I feel like a lot of people have had a good time in their life, and I am just now starting to have a good time in my life.
Damn, dude, yeah.
You know? But so it's great, though, that's because really in that exciting way, like, I remember, like, so when I used to date, it was, like, I miss college. Like, I had so much fun in college. And, like, I had fun in college, for sure. But, like, schooling was never appropriate for my mental health. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes I need to take days off. And, like, mm-hmm. I am able to do that now. So I'm much happier. Because instead of just postponing my own healing over and over again, it's number one priority, you know? Yeah. Nothing is more important to me in my life right now than healing what the past, you know, 24 years has been to me. Yeah. And like, yeah, I feel really good getting older. I'm really enjoying it. I feel more fun. Mm-hmm. Like, truly, I do not feel like I'm fucking rotting. Like,
yeah.
Really, like, and yeah, we're so young still, but like, it feels really old. Like, mm-hmm. 26 feels so old. But I'm, like, I'm excited and happy. And, like, I'm just doing so much stuff, like, spontaneously. And, like,
yeah.
Learning new things about myself is what's really exciting. I learned, like, 10 new things about myself this year. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, more than I've learned over the course of, like, many years.
Yeah.
Like, I've picked up new hobbies this year. Which I think is so cool. And that's another thing that my relationship inspired. Is, like, new hobbies. Because Ted has so many hobbies.
Yeah.
And picks up a new hobby weekly.
Yes.
And I love that. My God. We've got to pick up new hobbies. Otherwise, we're going to be so bored.
Yes. Wow.
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. I feel like good, and I'm excited for the next chapter of it, even though not having insurance is going to be very scary. Right now I have a very large infected cyst on my armpit.
But you have 2 weeks to get that, 3 weeks to get that, and you're going to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah, I got 3 weeks to sort of get that in control. And then after that, I'll just get hitched, you know?
Yeah.
What about you? What's your goal for 25?
I think my goal for 25, my goal for 24 was to listen to my gut more.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And you have, kind of.
At times. My goal for 24 was to, like, listen to my gut and then follow through with what my gut was telling me, which, like,
You definitely got to listen to your gut part down.
Yeah. I feel like I definitely succeeded in some ways. Mm-hmm. And I think I became, literally exponentially better communicator.
I agree.
Like, I think I improved so much. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to go into 2025 with the exact same goal, but I do want to go into 25, still thinking about that. And also just, remembering that I have so much to offer. And I'm literally crying. Oh, man. just going into 25 and remembering, I think a lot of the times, I feel like I'm an inconvenience to people. And I want to go into this year just remembering that, I can elevate spaces and, even if I'm not at my absolute best all the time, I still deserve to, be in the room.
Yeah.
And I still deserve love, even if, regardless of how I'm feeling, and whoever gets to love me is really lucky.
Yeah.
And I, in the same vein, I'm really lucky to love, you know? Yeah. So I just want to remember that and work on that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic goal. I feel like you really deserve that. I feel like a really great way for you to love yourself and to encapsulate that exact thing into action is to be unashamed of your decisions, of making decisions for you.
Yeah.
Because you need to make decisions with that in mind.
Yes.
That needs to drive everything you decide.
Yes.
Is that you, if anyone is lucky to have you around. I was literally just talking with Ted about this. I literally was. Ted was like, Jules seems to be kind of going through a moment. And I was like, one of the reasons why Jules and I are such good friends is because we both love very hard. Mm-hmm. And when we give love to people that take it for granted, it sucks because we won't stop. It's what's the word? Compulsive. We won't stop pouring out the love to somebody if they give us a shred in return, yeah. You know? And I was talking about how that makes us good friends because we're able to reciprocate that to each other because that's how we love. And it's how the people in our lives, how they love too, which is why that's good. But it is extremely hard when someone comes into our lives and gives us a shred that, we want to pour our love into.
Mm-hmm.
And that it becomes, a challenge to stop.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, anyone that is with you is absolutely lucky to be with you. And that means, and that's just not relationship, that's work with.
Yeah.
That's talk to. It's literally what you said, even if you're not 100%, you still deserve to be in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, people should be glad you're fucking there, period.
Yeah.
And if they're not, no worries, but you can take yourself out of the room.
Totally.
Or if you want to be there, just vibe, you know? Yeah.
And I think that also, in that vein, I'm sure you can feel this way too, treating yourself the way you treat others, treating yourself with the compassion that you treat others with, you know, never would I think if someone's in a bad place or if I think that someone's not 100% on, but I think that they shouldn't have shown up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or any person I've ever been in a relationship with, friendship, romantic, work relationship, whatever, if they do something wrong or if they've hurt me in any way, my first thought is always something's going on in their life for them mm-hmm. to, this isn't about me. Something's going on in their life. So how can I help them to feel more comfortable or like get back to the best version of themselves. And like, I think I need to start thinking about myself that way.
You do. You do. I struggle with it too.
Yeah.
But it's hard. I feel like that is your mountain right now to climb, you know?
And that's 25.
For real, though. Yeah. For real. That, I mean, that is like, I feel like, listen, I'm a whole year older than you, baby. I've been there. No, I'm just kidding. But no, but that was a real thing with leaving that relationship that I was in because yeah. It was so good.
Yeah.
And like, it was so happy and there was no real reason to leave. But like, I also needed to for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt so much guilt for most of this year. For most of this year, I was absolutely weeping, horrified, terrified, guilt ridden. Until my therapist literally was like, you just have to live with what you've done. You get that, right? Because you did the best you could do.
Mm-hmm.
You did everything you could do with what you were given.
Mm-hmm.
And you made the decision you made. And you just gotta be okay with it.
Yeah.
And like, maybe it was the right one. Maybe it was the wrong one. That actually does not matter at all. You just have to do what you did and live with it. And that has, like, completely changed my issues with my guilt.
Yeah.
Because I was just, like, living in it because I hurt somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I hurt somebody. And that was devastating. And I know you're the same in this way.
Yeah.
That it's, like, I would rather torture myself emotionally than upset somebody.
Yes.
I would rather absolutely cause... Because I can handle... Because I get to decide. I'm in control of my... of what happens when I get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in control of the emotions going on if they're my emotions. But if someone else exacts their emotions upon me, I can't handle that. I'm out of control, you know?
Totally.
And that is so scary and so hard. And yet it is the most important thing to just still do what you need to do.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yeah.
That sucks so bad. I literally would just rather suffer and, like, have everyone else be happy because then if no one's upset with me, then I'm okay.
That's exactly it.
Yeah. That's not true, though.
Growth is uncomfortable.
Bruh.
Ouch. Like, it literally feels wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but...
It feels so wrong and weird and bad. And then all of a sudden, all at once, it's, like, a wave of relief.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I have... Like, that was exactly what I felt when I got dumped in January. I was, like, so deeply sad for, like, 4 days. Like, literally inconsolable. Did not think I could get through it. And then, like, I swear to God, on the fifth day I woke up and I was the happiest I had been for, like, months there. From, like, January to April or whatever it was. Like, those were the happiest months of my fucking life. Like,
yeah.
I was just overjoyed all the time to just be alone. And, like, maybe there's something in there, too. Like, being alone.
Well, I mean, also with what you were just saying, like, what we were just saying is, like, you didn't want to be in that relationship anymore.
Yeah.
You didn't. But every time we would bring it up, and I remember I started babying you in this way of, like, and just, like, sneaking in an inch here and there of, like, well, maybe you should leave this relationship. Because I could tell you were unhappy because all you did was fucking bitch about it when we were alone. Like,
yeah.
You'd be like, oh, my God. She fucking did this and this and this and this and I'm miserable and exhausted and bored and, you know, but, and I'd be like, so why the fuck aren't you leaving? And you'd be like, no, like, that would really, like, hurt her. We're so, like, comfy and happy and, like, she would be blindsided. Blah,
yeah.
Blah. Yet she had no problem blindsiding you.
Literally no problem.
Not a problem. And that's because, you know, maybe she had learned the lesson of, like, you gotta do whatever is best for you. And obviously, I don't think what she did was right. I don't think you should ever get to that level
of doing
what's
best for you. Well, I think she, I mean, ultimately, she did do the right thing. We were both miserable.
Right.
I didn't know she was miserable. I would have broken up with her if I had known she was miserable. But, like... Right.
But you were miserable.
Yeah, I was miserable.
But, like, literally exactly what you just said. You're like, oh, well, if I'd known she was upset, I would have broken up with her. What about you, bitch?
Yeah,
what about you? You're also there.
I know.
You're also there.
Yeah.
And we're back. Wow, this has been a sad episode.
Yeah, birthdays can be sad.
But not sad,
just you're acknowledging the growth you've had this past year, and that can be emotional, but it's all good things.
I get really sad on my birthday too.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited for our party, and
hopefully we'll have some really slutty stories about what happens. Slutty
stories for next episode. We'll definitely give you a party update because we are inviting the biggest sluts we know.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Myself included.
Absolutely. So we're going to read some things that y'all sent in. Y'all sent us the best stories. Like, I'm like, I should have to pay for this.
Yeah. Like, also you can send us in just stories if you don't have questions, and maybe we'll read that, and then that could maybe potentially get you slut of the week.
Oh my God. Also, Jules, you're going to hate this, but will you send us ghost stories?
Don't do that.
Please. I love ghost stories. I want to read your ghost story. Cause also.
Okay. For a Halloween episode, they can send us ghost stories.
Okay. For a Halloween episode, send in your scariest ghost stories, because also there's nothing sluttier than like curling up and like listening to a ghost story and being like, I'm scared, and like that's how you break the touch barrier, you know? You're like, wait, can you
you can put this podcast on for like a first date and listen to the ghost scary ghost stories. Ooh,
for our Halloween episode, that's so good. Okay, yeah, send us your ghost stories. Okay, I'm going to read you a story that shook me to my core when I read it, Jules.
Okay, great. I'm ready? So excited. Yeah.
Hi, Gay and They. Is this where I write in? I've never written into a podcast before, so frankly I have no clue what I'm doing. This is perfect. DM on our Instagram.
At Gay They Podcast.
Gay They Podcast. Also follow us, please.
Please.
Please. Okay. Anyways, I recently got into a weird situation. I was going out with this girl for about a month, and everything seemed great. Mm-hmm. We held hands all the time, and she would constantly tell me how pretty I was, and we planned to go on a date when she officially moved back to campus. For the past month, she had been commuting 40-ish minutes to our college town just so we can hang out.
Wow, okay.
Yesterday, I found out that for the past month, she has been, in quotes, blinded by how much fun she was having, to realize how serious I was about getting to know her and going out, and told me she wasn't even into girls. Of course, I was super hurt and confused, especially since she acted just as into me as I was into her. She even said she was very interested in me but wouldn't date me? Question mark. I've only ever dated cis men before, and when I would break up with them, I would simply move on immediately and just never talk to them again. But I don't think I can do the same with her. You're a lesbian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though it's been such a short period of time, she's already so intertwined in my life. She wants to audition for my band, audition for two different shows I'm directing this semester, and still wants to hang out with me in general.
Whew, I have the perfect answer for this.
Now, after all that backstory, I only have a few questions. Is it worth staying friends with someone who will never have feelings for you, but you still do? Should I just stop interacting with her altogether? Am I in the wrong for getting my hopes up? I'm still a baby gay, so any advice outside of these questions is extremely helpful too. Also, I just want to say I love this podcast so much, and I've listened to every episode multiple times.
Wow.
Also, you have my full permission to share my name account publicly. Okay, so this is from Joey. At joey.vrs.
Joey, I have the literal perfect answer for you, because I've been in a really similar situation, not with someone. First of all, if you're hanging out with a girl and it's romantic and then she tells you that she's not into girls, she's going through something.
She's going through something that has nothing to do with you.
Literally nothing to do with you. And it's clear that she is into girls because she was into you because she was dating you for this past month. Mm-hmm. But it sounds like she's not ready to accept that, and that is not your journey to help her get there. As far as the friends thing goes, I actually saw a TikTok on my For You page just this morning that brought me a lot of clarity, for because I'm sort of going through a similar situation where I was dating someone that I was really close friends with. And then when we broke up recently, they wanted to stay friends, and I had to make the tough choice to say, like, I can't have you in my life right now. And I literally saw this TikTok today that just absolutely hit the nail on the head, because here's the situation. This person wants to stay friends with you because they feel comfortable having like all forms of access to you. And essentially, I know this is really shitty, but like, they would probably give you the same amount of time and attention that they gave you when you two were dating up until they met someone new to date.
Mm.
And then it's not going to be, because here's the thing. No, you can't go from dating someone to just being friends with them. It doesn't happen like that. Like,
unless it does for you, but it sounds like it's not for you.
Because you just said, And here,
you don't think you can just move
because
on.
You're gonna still have feelings for her, and so you're still going to be extremely accommodating and invest a lot of your time and energy into this because you have feelings for someone, and that's really beautiful. But what's going to ultimately happen is that you're going to keep giving, giving, giving. This person's going to keep taking, taking, taking. And then you're going to have some huge falling out where, unfortunately, the person's going to be, like, blocked from your life forever. So I think it's probably a really good idea to take some hard time apart right now if you want to salvage this friendship, because there's a huge power imbalance at this time.
There is.
And if there's a power imbalance, that's not a friendship. It's not a friendship. If there's, like, one-sided feelings and... No, that's because I don't know if this is how you feel, but something I literally, this was one of the bravest things I've ever said, but when I was just going through this breakup, I literally said to my friend that I had been dating, I said, I can't be friends with you because anytime we're hanging out just as friends, I'm going to be convincing you to have feelings for me again, want to date me. I won't be saying that out loud, but
exactly.
Every joke I make, everything I do, every eye contact, whatever, I'm going to still have feelings for you and be sitting around hoping that you want me back.
Yep.
And that is not a friendship, period.
Sometimes people decide to live a straight life even if they are not straight.
Yeah.
And that could be what's going on for this girl. And if she chooses to do that, that is just so not your business. As far as her wanting to audition for your band and shows you're directing, I mean, I don't know if that's a good idea. I think you should probably be really honest and be like, hey, I'm really hurt because you led me on to think that we were going to date and we clearly have a lot of fun together and I have developed feelings for you. And so I really don't know how to act now.
Ask yourself this question. If you put her in your band and she showed up to band practice one day and a new partner dropped her off and walked her in.
Yeah, are you going to want to be dead?
You're going to want to throw up? Because if me saying that out loud just now made your stomach fucking fall out of your asshole, no. That's it.
You can't. And you deserve that peace. I remember.
That's something so good you said to me recently.
Yes.
You deserve peace.
You deserve peace. Yeah, I was literally screaming that at Jules because I was like, you don't need someone better. You don't need someone this or that. You just need someone that brings you peace. Mm-hmm. That makes you feel at ease.
Comfortable.
Like, yeah, you don't need, like, a lot of times it can feel like, when you're being, like, whipped around, like, emotionally or, like, misled, it can feel really, like...
The on and off can be, like, perceived as, like, passion.
Yes, and it's not. It's literally not.
It's exhausting.
It's
It is not sustainable at all.
No, you cannot do that. You deserve to relax someone. I remember I was a baby gay. Like, I was gay young. And that would happen to me a lot with girls where we would, like, literally be, like, having sex and stuff. And then they would be like, I'm straight and, like, don't tell people about this. And, like, I want to be your friend. And I just, like, I would always just be their friend. But it was always so painful because, honestly, they appreciated the attention I was giving them.
Of course.
These girly bops are still, quote unquote, straight nowadays. Mm-hmm. But, like, they wanted the attention I would give them as a gay person.
I don't know.
Also, we got to address the boy thing that you've only dated cis men. And then you immediately move on. You were a lesbian.
Yeah, you might be a lesbian, which is great. Congratulations.
Which is amazing. Congrats to you.
But yeah, I mean, maybe right now this is your first time being like, I don't know how to just snap out of this and get over it. And that is really hard, but this is a really awesome learning moment. And this is like, you hold the entire power of the situation in your hands right now.
Yeah.
You're so powerful right now.
You are so powerful. And being a lesbian is fucking fire. Mm-hmm. Lesbians are elite. You gotta really bask in that. I love you, Joey.
Love you, Joey.
You deserve love. You deserve someone who chooses you.
You deserve someone who, like, wants to come over and lay in bed all day with you and also go out in public with you and not care who sees it. And you deserve peace and comfort and happiness.
So. Okay, we have one more question for you. Okay, this is from Kira. Kira.
How's it spelled?
K-Y-R-A.
Wow.
Okay, first of all, hello. I absolutely love both of you and your energies. I've been a TikTok follower of both of you for quite a while, and I attribute your platforms to helping me be comfortable in my own skin. That makes me so happy. I literally want to explode. That's really sweet. I love you.
Love you.
Recently binged your podcast on a long flight, and it got me thinking of how big of a slut I am. Mm. And then it's that emoji with the, like, big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a Catholic high school and was probably the only openly gay person there. Slay me too. meaning I have a lot of good stories. However, I think both of you will get a kick out of my sluttiest moment. Let me paint the picture for you. Please. 2019. I'm at this little Catholic high school in Montana. Oh my God.
Jesus.
And getting ready to go out with some friends. We hung out at this spot called The Barn. And yeah, it was an actual barn. You know, with horses and shit. I was dating this guy at the time. I was bi, but I've since realized I hate all men. Slay. And we met up before... and we met up beforehand to go to this party together. Things had been okay in our relationship, but I was ready for my hoe phase. He came to my place to pregame, and I broke up with him.
Damn.
And then we obviously had mind-blowing breakup sex and still went to the party together, because that's not toxic at all.
It sounds pretty lesbian.
Yeah, it sounds pretty fucking gay. So we show up to the party, he cried the whole way, and our friend brings out his dad's homemade moonshine.
Ooh.
I swear to God, I took like 5 shots of moonshine, and for a little chicky like me, that was too much.
That's too much for anyone.
That night, I proceeded to not only fuck my ex-boyfriend's best friend, but also the best friend's girlfriend immediately after. Keep in mind, I fucked both of them without the other one knowing. The worst part is I have no recollection of this, as I woke up in the middle of a cornfield in nothing but the girlfriend's clothes.
Kira. Oops. Wait, you were wearing the girlfriend's clothes
and woke up in a cornfield? Did I mention it was like the winter and below freezing?
Winter in Montana?
No clue how I survived, but I hope you both liked the story. Definitely my most proud moment. Hashtag toxic and proud. Damn.
Kira.
If you want more stories, let me know. I was the demon child of my Catholic high school, and this was a tame compared to some. Also, you can totally say my name, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Kira, you are our slut of the week. 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 That's insane.
That's crazy of you.
You're insane. I love that. My only note would be maybe just don't get blackout and fuck a bunch of people and then fall asleep in a corn maze. My note was to take the cornfield out of this equation.
My note is maybe one less shot of moonshine
and a safe bed with a roof over your head.
Yes. And I'm also wondering, when you woke up in that girlfriend's clothes, was she wearing yours, I wonder?
They must have switched clothes, which probably means that everyone knew that you guys fucked.
Yeah, if you switched clothes, that's kind of funny though.
That is honestly hilarious.
Wow.
Kira, how are you alive? You slutted within an inch of your life.
Yeah, that's insane. Okay, so this was your senior year of high school. You're in 2019, so you're in college now. I'm sure you've only gotten sluttier from then.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that. It's been tamed down.
No, thank God.
Thank God, honestly.
Kira, we're going to be posting your picture on our Instagram.
On our Instagram.
As the slut of the week. Wait, can I see what Kira looks like?
Yeah. Kira, this pic is so cute with you and your kitty cat. You take a kitty cat to the park. Kira,
you're so cute.
You take a kitty cat to the park.
Kira, we love you. We miss you. We wish you were here.
I wish you were right here, Kira, because I know you have more stories, and honestly, you should send them in. Also, if you have any ghost stories.
No, please. Please, no ghost stories.
Oh my gosh. All right, you guys, we gotta wrap this episode up.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jules and Friday. Happy birthday to you.
This was another episode of Gay and They, produced by Fruit House Films. I am Friday Anderson, my pronouns are they, them, and Jules Rock, her pronouns are she, her. That's not also my name, she's someone else. she was the other one talking here. All right. Have a good week, you guys. See you next Tuesday. Mwah. She says every time I'm in a hurry, she doesn't have time for games.